Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
That's good.
Very good. I feel like it's going to be a good one. You know, I just feel like it, you know?
I feel like it's going to be a good one, too. Did you watch The Soul Frame?
Fuck.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me, Neil? This is what I have to deal with.
I straight up and down did not.
I didn't think about it. Ask for so precious very little of you.
No.
Literally, no. I didn't even say you had to watch the whole thing. I said watch like 10, 15 minutes of it.
I know.
15 minutes of your time. I'm going to spend an hour editing this. I wanted you to watch it for 15 minutes.
I didn't even think about it. Straight up.
Oh, that's even better. That's even better. Just madmanning me. I don't even think about you.
Ridiculous. It wasn't even like...
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible gaming podcast.
Hello, my name is Ekrai with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, have decided for whatever reason to listen to another horrible gaming podcast. I'm not alone. Normally, I'm never alone. With me is...
Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
And guess what, guys? It's the moment you've all been waiting for. It's Starfield Day. We're going to talk about Starfield. We're going to talk about the reviews for Starfield. We're going to talk about what we have both thought of the game and playing it so far. All things Starfield today. We're going to do it in one instead of spreading it out over a bunch, hopefully. So we're going to do it. It's Old Man Gaming versus Starfield today. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and thank the people who make this possible. Behind our ugly mugs, you're seeing a fancy graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And, of course, the theme song for this show and all shows here at Old Man Gaming are provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Siders, and we thank him for that. We'll be right back with everybody's favorite fan track.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, so that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment, that's fan interaction. That's where we, the co-hosts, we talk to you guys, the fans. We read out your comments in all the places we find them. And we riff on them, we chat about them, stuff like that. Now, we did get a back entry from Mr. William Ho-Win. Okay. All the way back on episode... I can't remember what the episode was. It was the Gamescom episode. I don't remember the number. I think it was two episodes ago. So I'm going to reread it out because I saw it and I remembered. Hi! Exclamation point. Man, my lack of comments have been noticed, huh? That's kind of a good feeling, really. I hate every sports and every sports game, parentheses, apart from Blades of Steel, maybe. Blades of Steel is awesome. Although... I don't know that I'd say it's a sports game. It's more like a fighting simulator with a puck. Every game trailer that is not the actual game is of no interest to me. I don't want no live action or CGI stuff. Show me the game. I will buy. I want to see the game. The UI, that's it. All right, all catched up until tomorrow. Thanks for the show. Hashtag no live action trailers. Yes, we agree with all these things. I don't know how much else is to be said about this. Blades of Steel is awesome. It's an old Nintendo game. And basically is a hockey game. Made by clearly by people who did not understand or know what hockey was. Past they skate, they shoot puck into net, they score goal. Yes. Because there's no penalties in the game. Instead, if you run into a guy or check him enough times, it starts a fight, which in hockey is illegal, and the people who were in the fight go to the penalty box. In this, the person who loses the fight goes to the penalty box. So you can actually just, like, troll the other team down to three players by beating them up really hard. So it just becomes, like, Streets of Rage with a puck in the middle of it. But it is a lot of fun. Love Blades of Steel as a kid.
I love those like modified sports games though. Mm-hmm. They are great. What was it? NFL Street. I was a fan of because you could like run up walls and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Around people.
The funny thing about Blades though is you could clearly see that someone was trying. Like Konami made it, and they were trying to make like a hockey simulator, like mm-hmm. like an actual hockey sports game. But I don't think Japan had a lot of exposure to hockey at that period of time.
I don't believe so.
So their hockey simulator was very far from what an actual simulation of hockey was. All right, so back to this week. Let's do it. First and foremost, Jason. Turtle power! Referring to my text that I received during the show. Happens. It happens. Then Jason continues, I quit TCM, being Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like a week ago. I can't win as family because of speedrunners. I can't escape as victim if you ain't part of a speedrunner team, so you're shit out of luck. So I have some updates on Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I guess I'm going to break one of my odds now since he talked about it. First of all, I don't feel it was that bad, Jason. I do disagree with you slightly. However, I will say I do play with a group at all times. I'm never solo in that game, so you could be on to something. I have not experienced that. I will say it has definitely become way more try-hard now that people have figured out exactly how you get points, how you do things in the game, how you go about things in the game, which has taken away from some of the fun of the game. But Texas Chainsaw Massacre has had a huge... I've got some hate for them right now because they have shut down crossplay to the PC because their anti-cheat sucks so much that the PC players are just cheating.
That's unfortunate.
It's not unfortunate because unfortunate is something that is luck-related or luck-based. Gun games had the same problem with Friday the 13th. They had shitty, shitty, shitty anti-cheat on there. They already had experienced this issue, but yet they went ahead and released this game with the same issue. And now I can't play with my friends because they're all on console because you fuckers couldn't fix your game before you put it out. There's no excuse for this. In 2023, there is no excuse not to have at least decent anti-cheat in a multiplayer competitive game. I'm sorry, I just don't have any sympathy for this issue anymore. If you're going to put out a multiplayer game that is competitive in any way, shape, or form, have decent anti-cheat. We are in 2023, there's hackers everywhere, fix your shit. Or don't put it out, delay it. I'll be mad about that, but I'll be way less mad than if you put it out, I get to play it for 2 months, then I can't play with my friends anymore because you didn't prepare properly for how to put the game out. Bugs and shit are one thing, but to have to take 7 steps backwards because of a feature, not even a feature, a thing that every game in that area should have is ridiculous.
Yeah, the removal of crossplay after it already has been implemented is really rough.
really rough. Yeah, I think that like, and again, if this was like even 8 years ago, I'd be like, okay, sure, you know what I mean? But like, every major competitive company that didn't have anti-cheat has had problems with anti-cheat. PUBG, Call of Duty, Dead by Daylight. They all got anti-cheat and they all figured it out. But they were all also released before this shit was going down. There's no reason to not know that that's what you need. You know what I mean? Like, there's no excuse for this. It's like not looking both ways before you cross the street. Like, this is something we've been doing for years. You know you're going to get hit by a car if you don't. It's just that simple. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm sorry. And everybody's like, oh, these hackers are ruining it for us. Yeah, partially the hackers are ruining it for us. But the other person who ruined it for us was the gaming company, who did not understand. A gaming company that makes competitive games, that has already had a problem with this, didn't put anti-cheat in. I'm so frustrated with it. Absolutely frustrated beyond belief.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Jason then also says, time to get my fix. Not exactly sure what he is referring to. But if you are a drug addict or addicted to gambling, there are hotlines.
The intro to the podcast.
What was the intro?
The audio intro? The song that your brother made?
Oh, is that the fix, you think? Oh, yeah. Wow, dude.
You have to listen to it every week. Well, yeah. I guess you don't have to listen to the whole thing every week.
I am, I mean, he's right. He's right. Sorry, Jason. I cannot believe I missed such a easy and obvious joke. Jeez. My brain is mush, that's why.
No brain.
No brain. Every once in a while, people get to see just how bad at living I am. There's a prime example. William Ho-Wooin. Hi! Exclamation point. I wasn't expecting Starfield to be featured on this podcast, nor did I thought the game was real. So, looking forward to what you have to say on it, though. Well, this is the episode. I'm excited to talk about it because I am very surprised by the game in many ways, and also, I mean, my thoughts on it were unexpected, and that is at least exciting for me. He then continues, I don't have much to add to what you said about the graphics thing, but I can say that graphics can be beautiful and pleasing even when they're not demanding, a.k.a. less is more sometimes. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the show. Hashtag, yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. John Wick quote in the hashtag. Well played, William Owen. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. Good job.
It's funny because I was actually... I was wondering, too, like... If we would go, what would it be, like 3 weeks at this point without any sort of interaction? It was like, did we, like, say something?
Yeah, right. Okay? Right, right. But no, he was on vacation or something, I believe. And then Jason, finally, I played some of that Urban Legend last night when it was released on Game Pass, but he did not say what he thought of it, which is fine. We're going to say what we thought about it. That ends our fan interaction. So we are going to talk about it today, guys. Finally, the Starfield. All the things. I'm very excited about it because I have a lot of thoughts on many different facets of this game. My review is going to be coming out this week. I'm very, very excited to talk to you about with Neil, too, because we have not talked since he played it. Which is interesting, so I think that this should be an interesting show.
Yeah, I think we had a very light conversation briefly, but I think it was one of those things to where, like, we knew if we started talking about it, we'll just say all the things.
Yeah, sometimes, that's the problem with having a podcast, guys, sometimes we have to not be friends. Like, every once in a while, I have to be like, no, just we can't talk about this.
Talk to you. We'll waste all the good stuff.
That's exactly right. Like, sometimes we'll start, because we text each other regularly, and sometimes we'll start talking, and then all of a sudden we'll be like, wait, stop talking.
You need to stop.
We
gotta save it.
All right, we'll be right back with all things Starfield.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our talking point, the talking point, I would say, of 2023.
Something has arrived.
Yes, something this show has been leading to, something gaming industry has been leading to. We are living now in a post-Starfield world. Just like once we were living in a post-Cyberpunk world, it has happened again. We are living in a post-Starfield world. But what was the reaction? What was everything about it? What were we right? Were we wrong? All that fun stuff. Well, I'm not exactly sure how we're going to get into this and how we're going to talk about every facet of this. Do you want to, like, we could do an overview first? We could start on the reviews because that's chronologically the way to go? Or how should we do this?
So... yeah, let's go with the review first, and then I'd be interested to see
if we just segue into it.
You've what all you've done after the opening segment, and then okay. just go from there, I'm sure.
All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about the reviews then first, because this was a big deal to me, which was, okay, so review copies went out. We talked about this a little while ago. You look confused. This is what you wanted to talk about first, right?
No, it was my cat is, see, there's
a... Oh, okay, all right.
She was just, like, rubbing...
Did I misunderstand what you meant by reviews?
No. Every single time I come down here to do the podcast, she jumps up on my computer desk and lays down in front of me. That's why sometimes you'll see me furiously typing in the middle of everything. She's laying on the keys. It's just she started bumping things and it was messing with my audio. No, we're on the right track.
So the reviews. So review copies were sent out early, and the reviews actually came out. Bethesda basically completely changed direction with how they do review copies and everything, which led to a lot of speculation on our parts. They gave review copies out almost a month prior, that, and the review embargo lifted when the early access started, which was technically a week before the game came out, which that's another thing I want to talk about and the stupidity of that insanity, but we'll get there. The reviews were insane. I watched three personally. I usually watch three reviews from three different places anytime I'm very interested in a game. I watch IGN's, I watch ACG, which is an independent reviewer, and then I watch a random other channels, you know, just to try and get perspective on the game before I even go into it. So I was very surprised by this because usually ACG, anybody who has watched ACG upon my recommendation or otherwise, he is an independent reviewer. He's a very popular YouTube channel, but he's independent in the way that he gets review copies, but then he gives them away so that he's never like taking a cut of whatever it is. He purchases the game on his own if he wants to. He also does not do scored reviews, which I find very good. He basically, his kind of margin, at his cap at the end is whether you should buy it, rent it, wait for sale, or never touch it, which is better than a score, in my opinion. And he goes very in-depth into everything. He absolutely loved it. He loved it. It was 20 minutes of like a glowing review. He definitely had some negatives, but overall, he just loved it. And ACG is the first to shit on things if he doesn't like them. So then I go over to IGN, and let's face it, not to be too crude, but I was just expecting IGN to just suck all the dick of Bethesda that they could possibly suck, because they usually do in these kind of periods. 7 out of 10, which is an IGN 2. So that was pretty crazy to me that IGN kind of blasted it as hard as they did. And honestly, if you watch the video review, even though it's a 7 out of 10, they really don't say a lot of positives about it. It was a pretty negative review overall. Then I also watched Legacy Gaming, which was kind of mid in the road. But the review thing just really surprised me. Definitely got my enigma going that IGN would hit it. However, I've had a theory for a long time. I feel like IGN makes reviews and scores based on their own comment section and click rates, popularity of click rates. So like, if negative stories on something get more clicks, if they have a lot of negative comments or feedbacks on something, the review tends to be worse than better. That's just something I've noticed with them. I feel like they try to almost do a review based on their fan base. You know what I mean? That being said, the review surprised me that IGN was low. The independents were very high on it. Yeah. So, I don't know. What reviews did you watch? I'm sure you watched the IGNs.
I did two of them. It was the IGN and the one that you sent me of the ACG.
Yeah.
And I did kind of find those two at odds with each other.
Yeah.
In the end,
in a weird way too, you know, like usually it's IGN loves something ACG doesn't, you know, it's very strange.
When IGN, like, I feel like with IGN's review, they came out swinging against it from the jump, because I was actually doing yard work whenever it came out. So like, I just have my earbuds in and I'm picking up sticks, and I just hear whoever, I forget, was it Ryan
Dan McGaffrey? Stapleton.
It was Dan Stapleton.
Okay. Yeah, which I find really interesting, because deep stuff on this, guys. Dan Stapleton is actually the editor and chief of all the reviews on IGN. Dan Stapleton is in charge of who does the reviews in the first place. So it's very rare that he does a review, but it's very interesting that, like, basically the head of reviews reviewed Starfield, you know?
Yeah, and I remember, like, stopping in my backyard, and I was like, wait. Like, I actively stopped doing something. Like, are they going to rip it apart? Yeah. Like, I mean, like you had mentioned, a 7. Like, I know one of the conversations that we had is it basically had to be a 9 or a 10 to kind of redeem Microsoft and everything that's been going on lately. But yeah, in the end, listening between those two reviews, I did like ACG's introspection. He went into a bit more that was like outside of the normal hitting of the beats of a review than IGN. But in the end, I definitely feel like from my time with it, I'm leaning kind of more towards IGN's. I wouldn't go 7. I wouldn't go 7. I would place it within the realm of an 8 for sure. Maybe 8.5. But overall, yeah, the reviews and everything like that, it was very, very surprising. Interesting. Very interesting with the reviews, how that all came out.
Well, I don't give scored reviews. I'm not going to change it, even on the side project. But I will say, I surprisingly did not agree with either of the reviews. I thought IGN was actually too hard on it, and I thought that ACG was way too happy about it. I actually found myself agreeing a little bit more with Legacy Gaming, which I very rarely agree with, on their review. I thought it was, I thought it was a little bit more in between. I definitely didn't hate it as much as I was expecting to hate it. At the same time, and I'm enjoying it. I'm still playing it, actually, so I'm liking it. At the same time, it didn't blow me the way it was supposed to. And actually, and I don't know if we want to go here yet, but I guess might as well. I would say it's worse than Skyrim, in my opinion. I think on a content and quality level, it's not as good as Skyrim, which I think is a really interesting thing to say, but I don't think Bethesda has managed to top Skyrim since Skyrim.
Right.
And this was supposed to.
I will agree with that.
Okay.
Honestly, the biggest gripe that I feel like I have is not necessarily one with... I'm not quite sure how to put my finger on describing it, but I feel like I'm constantly overwhelmed because my big complaint is there are too many systems. Holy ass, are there too many systems? Keeping track of all of the various things, like I didn't even know about the status effects until I started picking up certain like consumables that are cures for them.
Right.
Like the ship combat is, I feel like the ship combat could have been done in a more effective way, but like to condense down what it is that they presented and how they presented it. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm enjoying the game. I like the game. Like I said, I've been playing it. I'm about 8 hours in so far.
Okay.
And I'm going to continue to play it. But when you first are introduced to the game, it's just like, hey, here's a very small blurb about stuff that you have to pay attention to and nothing about it. Like the development of pharmaceuticals, the cooking, the this, the that, the making of stuff. I'm just so overwhelmed that I feel like I don't want to touch some of the stuff because it's just another thing that I got to figure out how to do.
I don't disagree with you. I wouldn't say that's my chief gripes. I'll get into my chief gripes in a second, but just talking about yours, I think I avoided some of that because I went in with a very clear, this is what I want to do with this character kind of idea behind him. I decided that since I had had so much hate leading up to the game that I was going to go in as just a hateful motherfucker and just try and do really mean shit. And and with that goal in mind, I have not had to run into a lot of those other subsystems, but I am aware of them. And there's a lot of them. You run into a lot of them. And they don't explain any of them. There's no explanation of these systems, not easily or simply. It's just like you run into a thing and then all of a sudden you're trying things. Even with ship creation, which I think universally is loved by every reviewer, and personally me, I loved it. Even with that, there was still a lack of explanation to the point where I didn't even realize that when I was deleting parts, I wasn't putting them in storage off the ship. I was selling them, you know? Like, there's... Oh. Yeah, there's nothing telling you that. Or not clearly explaining it to you. My gripes are with the lack of... Okay, so like... Alright. Skyrim, you can do anything. There are quests that are predefined and pre-written by the developers. But if you walk up to a quest giver and you decide, I'm going to cut this dude's head off, and you cut that dude's head off, he's dead. You can't get any of his quests, and you can't do any of this stuff with him. This game doesn't have that level of freedom. And while this might be a minor gripe, I'll give you an example. So, I wanted to be a space pirate. Okay, I know you can join the space pirates. Can you fly to the space pirate place and join the space pirates? No, you cannot. What you have to do is you have to go undercover with another group to yes. get in with the space pirates, which frustrated me already. But I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to let this go because it would be hard to find the space pirates in the first place. So, okay, I get it. That being said, after you go undercover with them and you do the first space pirate mission to get inside, you can't just stay with the pirates. You have to actually go back and continue the quest line with the people who put you undercover to forward move the quest line with the pirates. And that, to me, was so frustrating. So here's what I did. When I went back the first time and I talked to them and they got mad at me for being a pirate, which, hey, what do you want? I decided I'm just going to kill everybody on the ship. So I pulled out my shotgun. I had a huge 30-minute gunfight. I shot everyone on the Vanguard ship. No problem. Killed a ton of them. Here's the problem. The Vanguard leader and the Vanguard second-in-command are, for whatever reason, marked as characters you can't kill. So they just fall down to their hands and knees, and they don't die. They're effectively immobilized, but they don't actually die. You could shoot them all day long. They won't die. It won't go away. Even though firing a gun on the ship against one of them immediately makes you an enemy of them anyway. So what the fuck? But then I go to the ship and I go to leave, and the captain, who I blew away 17,000 times, is somehow alive and nukes my ship before I can get away. So I actually had to reload. I couldn't get out of it. That's the kind of thing. Like in Skyrim, I could have killed them all and walked out of there without a problem. And Skyrim, like joining the Thieves Guild, is as simple as going to the town with a Thieves Guild in it and talking to a thief. Like, that's the level of freedom thing. Like, it's almost like they got so wrapped up in their own story that, like, they forgot that, like, if you go too heavy on the story, you force people to do things they don't want to do.
Yes. I had a major gripe with that, too, but for a completely different reason.
Okay.
So, in the opening mission, which we'll talk about here, too, in a minute, I'm sure.
Yeah.
In the middle of the opening mission, before going back and finishing everything off, like at the lodge, I was just like, you know what? I want to go places.
Yep.
That's just what I want to do. So I decide that I'm going to land on the moon, like our moon, mm-hmm. For the right. sake of, you know, description of this. So I went to the moon, and I found an abandoned base that was just full of dudes and everything, but I found contraband, and it was the first bit of contraband that I picked up. Now, when you go into one of these patrolled areas, you get scanned, and there's a little thing that tells you your percent chance of being caught with contraband. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole thing that says if you have stuff on your ship, it gives you a little bit of a chance to be caught with the contraband, and it'll be confiscated.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you get caught, it all gets taken away, but it's just a chance, and it goes up. So I had one single solitary thing that I found, and it was worth like 10,000 credits too. It was like some, it was like religious writings for that weird snake religion.
Oh, yeah, they have.
Yeah, those people.
I haven't met them yet, but I'm aware.
Yeah. No, that's a whole nother thing that we'll get into too. But so I found writings for that, and it straight up said like, this is contraband. So just so you know, if you get caught with it, you know, you're going to be in trouble, going to be taken from you. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm also working on the fact that I know that it's only a small chance and it goes up with the more that I have. So one single bit of contraband isn't going to do anything. Nope. The second I went to go back to the main city, was it Volantis?
Yeah. When I went to, something like that.
When I went to go back there to start to dump off my stuff, immediately it said right from the 100%, you're caught. Like, I thought there was just a small chance.
Right.
Because I had contraband, it forced me into that. So I already had, like, I was already done with everything. I wanted to finish the mission that I was on. Yep. I wanted to sell stuff. Well, surprise, now I'm roped into this half hour long, like, police interrogation thing. Yep. And, oh, now you're working undercover and X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. I actively don't want to do this. So I had to, like, go through and just to the point they're like, yeah, we loaded all your stuff on the ship, so just go there and do the thing. And I just turned the mission off and just walked away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how law enforcement works, but whatever.
That's right. That's one thing that's very frustrating is a lot of the stuff seems to force you in it. Like, I didn't want to join Constellation. I don't give a shit about finding alien crap. Like, I know that's the main story and all, but, like, in Skyrim, and I know we're comparing this to Skyrim a lot, but let's face it, guys, that's the Bethesda winner, right? Like, this is supposed to be the thing that surpasses that. And like, in Skyrim, you do an opening mission where a dragon attacks, and then you're recommended to go to a city. You could go anywhere from there. I played, and I'm going to tell you this. This is how free Skyrim was. Skyrim, you're supposed to be this dragonborn, right? If you've never played it, you're a dragonborn. When you kill the dragons, you get their soul, and that allows you to unlock shouts, which are like dragon powers, basically. I did not unlock shouts for 50 hours of that game because I just wanted to join the Thieves Guild so bad that after I got out of that opening mission, I just ran in the direction of Riften, which is where the Thieves Guild was. I never unlocked shouts. Dragons never even started spawning because I never fought that first dragon. I never went to Whiterun. That's how free Skyrim is. With this, it's like you're in Constellation whether you want to be or not, period. That's our story. You have to deal with it. And then after that, you know, it's the same thing with the Vanguard thing. Like, oh, I got caught with something. Now I'm undercover, no matter how I look at this. And I'm not saying that an undercover storyline isn't cool, but the idea that, like, you're just forced into it no matter what you do is just so frustrating. And it's the only way to join the Crimson Fleet, which is the pirate faction. It's literally the only way. I've looked it up. There's two ways to join it. Both of them involve going undercover. And, like, that's my thing with this game, is it's like, it's almost like Bethesda, like, had this really free open Skyrim and slowly have restricted our freedom over the course of each game. Fallout 4 was great, but slightly more restrictive than Skyrim. Fallout 76 was a fucking train wreck. And then now we're here, which is definitely better than Fallout 76. And I would actually contend I might like this more than Fallout 4. But it still, it doesn't have that level of freedom that you want, you know, from a company that created Skyrim. You know what I mean? It's not Skyrim in space, but for me, it's not Skyrim in space because of that lack of freedom. You know what I mean? I don't know. We are being very hard on it. I'm sure we will get to the positives at some point. But, like, there's a couple other things I didn't like about it. I really didn't like a lot of the way the opening worked. There's a lot of things that you absolutely have to know that they don't tell you. I don't know if you've ever tried to register a ship that you pirated, but
I try to avoid anything with the ships right now.
I actually don't hate space combat at all. I like it, but so especially the boarding is, in my opinion, the best part of this game so far. But like, I stole a ship. Like, that's what I'm a pirate. So I stole a ship. It was the first time I got a chance. I stole a ship. The ship, you have to have them registered or you can't work on them. They become yours immediately, but until you find a way to register them, you can't work on them. Plus, all the dead bodies inside stay inside. So I just had this collection of dead bodies in the cockpit just behind me every time I flew around in it. But what happens when you go to a shipyard to register it is it goes, you don't have enough money to register this if you don't have enough money. It doesn't tell you how much it costs anywhere until you have enough. Once you have enough, it says it will cost X amount of dollars to register this. I'm like, why wouldn't you just put that graphic in beforehand? Stuff like that is just like really annoying. Also, they locked so much of the fun stuff away in the beginning. So like, the only way to board a ship is to take out a ship's engines specifically before destroying it, right? You can't target a specific system on a ship until you unlock a specific skill called targeting. But they don't tell you any of this. So if you're trying to board a ship, you're just destroying ships because you don't know how to do it. The jetpack boosting is one of the cooler parts of the gunfight. You don't unlock that until you unlock a skill. There's so many of these skills that it's like, well, this was the fun thing. Why couldn't I do this before? Like, why would you block this behind a skill, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing that I've been kind of dealing with everything. Because, like, I did naturally figure some of that stuff out just by reading, you know, like, the descriptions and stuff. But, like, I don't know. Because the first time in, like, the opening sort of mission when you're dealing with that sort of stuff, what's her name who's following around with you? She's like, yeah, go ahead and target the engines so you can board. And it's like, okay. So I don't know how to do that. Like, how do I do that? Like, and then, oh, surprise, it's actually a skill you need to have and put a point into. Like,
That I've run into that a few times where it's like, oh, I'm going to go do this cool thing. And then I find out that it's locked behind a skill. Like, certain ships, you can't pirate until your piloting level is higher. That's a skill. Like, and that's not really told to you. And, like, stuff like that is just... So I take this really cool ship, I board it, I kill everybody on it, and it's just like, you don't have enough pilot. Great.
I changed some of my buttons when I played. In, like, Skyrim and everything, Bethesda games, it's all the same. Instead of making jump be on Y, I put it on A.
Okay.
So I flip-flopped A and Y, so that way my jump is A and my quote-unquote do button is Y.
Okay.
So two things happen with that. One, when you change the button bindings, all you're doing is swapping them, and that automatically flips them anyways for you, so you don't have two things bound to the same button. When you go to get out to finalize your bindings, it yells at you and tells you that there are conflicts, which there are not. I spent 10 minutes dicking around going through to make sure everything was the same. And sure enough, it was just because the game wanted to yell at you. But
really,
it also does not change the prompts in the tutorial stuff that comes up. So I'm over here trying to hit the wrong buttons to do things.
Right.
Because the game is telling me to do something else. You would think that they would find a way to I don't know, just like implement that in such a way to where you don't have to dick around with that. But I mean, overall, like you mentioned, like we're being very down.
I mean,
on
we're
going to
get
stuff,
positive,
but
we're
definitely going to get positive with everything. The only thing that the last thing that I have that I think is worth mentioning that kind of gave me kind of like a meh feeling. I chose gangster for my background.
So did I.
Okay. So have you run into somebody trying to take your head yet?
No, I haven't run into the bounty hunter yet.
So, fun fact. In my just screwing around, I wanted to go to the Soul System because that's the one thing that I wanted to do, because I wanted to see like their representation of the planets in our actual real solar system.
Right.
So hopping around between them, I went to go over to one of Jupiter's moons, and the first one showed up. So the second you get out of a grav jump, the dude's just there. He's like, oh, I found you. I've been looking for you. I'm here for your head. And it's like, okay, so this is the thing that I was warned about. Like, okay, cool. Ha ha. I'm level 5. This motherfucker shows up at a level 14 with the ship.
Wow.
I'm just like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I lasted 10 seconds. I couldn't even get away. Wow. So I'm like, all right. And then, of course, because of the auto saving, it puts me right out there. Mm-hmm. I had to immediately, the second I got launched out of that, just started spamming the button to get up into the star map to get out of there. It's just like, you would think that they would have it leveled at least remotely, like, close to where you are, not over double your current level.
Right.
At least early on. That kind of like rubbed me the wrong way. Cause now I'm just like, so is that the rule or an exception? Like, am I just going to show up on a planet one day and, oh, by the way, I'm level like 12 now. And there's a level 40 dude just like, I'm here for your head and just take me out in 1 second. I had that issue one time in Skyrim and I had to mod my entire save to be able to get through it.
I had a lot of stuff with that. I will say, like, if it's one dude and he's 14, and that's the perk, and that's the downside, I kind of get it, because it's like, okay, then I have to run. I have to stay away from this guy until I'm ready to fight him. And then when I fight him, he's dead. And then once he's dead, he's dead. But if it's like you're constantly being bombarded by, like, mercs every so often that are way higher level than you, then that's bullshit. You know what I mean?
So if it was just a dude... So to clarify, like, I've taken out, like, I right now at this point, I'm level 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. I can take out a guy who's level 14 or 15. It's a challenge, but I can do it.
Right.
But when you're looking at, like, this situation, it was a dude in a ship.
Right.
So it was like a space dogfight, which I feel like they should have put Star Fox controls or something. Yeah. Because inevitably what ends up happening is I get somebody behind me that I can't shake, and I literally just set my controller down and blow up, because it just frustrates me to no end.
Okay, so let's turn a little bit, because on that, I want to segue into one of my positives.
Okay.
And I have actually come to really love the space combat, and I felt the same way you did at first. Like, the frontier was just too heavy. I couldn't do anything in it. I was just constantly dying, and I didn't get it. Like, there was no sharp turn. There was no, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, figuring it out was tricky. Now that I'm getting the hang of it, I actually am starting to really enjoy it. And it has certain intricacies that I find really interesting and almost superior to No Man's Sky, which, you know, that's one of my games as far as it goes. But, like, No Man's Sky is a little bit more like Star Fox with the shooty bang-bang in space. Mm-hmm. You fly, you try and get behind him, you shoot him, you fly, you try and bat him, you shoot him. With this, and it's all on that one analog stick, and that's the trick to it. And I was also able to do something which I never thought would work, because they almost never work in space games. I made a ship. It was incredibly small and incredibly fast, and it actually works in this game. Very few people can hit me or get behind me for any period of time. Like I said, in the beginning, it was the same thing. Like, I was barely surviving space fights. And just in a frustrated huff, like, why am I doing, like, what am I doing wrong here? You know?
Yeah.
And I, again, though, I think that speaks to the lack of them really showing you how to do things, properly. But still, I actually have really enjoyed the space. I'm starting to really enjoy the space combat. I've definitely gotten into some gunfights with some dogfights, which I've really enjoyed. I especially like how aware they are about debris.
Mm-hmm.
No Man's Sky, I love it, but it's chronic that the bad guys will fly through asteroids and not get hurt. You know, stuff like that. You don't take much damage from collision. Whereas, like, for me, it's all about the flying around things while fighting somebody. With this, I had the last dogfight I had was with two ships. I was in my super fast ship. I was doing some piracy stuff, and it was in an asteroid field. It was possibly the most fun I've had with the game so far. Oh, well, second most fun thing I've had with the game so far. It was a really cool, interesting dogfight. It ended in a boarding, and it was just like, I had to dodge the things, and I could really fly real fast, and it's, yeah, like, I'm actually really enjoying the star fighting.
One thing that I will say for sure, though, that I absolutely love, and this is one of the positives that I have for the game, is the routing of power on the ship.
Yeah.
I love that, because that's one thing that you always see in, like, the movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, rerouting power from this to that.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually shift it around to where you need it to be. So, like, if you need to go faster, you can steal it from your, like, your stuff that doesn't necessarily need it. Like, your if you're not shooting anybody at that point in time, your lasers. Take it away from your lasers. Take it away from your missiles. Route it to the engines. Oh, your shields, you know, your shields kind of low, but you only have two bars in it. Go ahead and steal it from something else. Get yourself some more shield.
Right.
Love that sort of stuff. That was cool. I love that sort of agency.
I think that that's what's really interesting. You remember me and Phil actually played Star Wars Squadrons for a little while.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping they did a bunch of stuff with that, and they just gave up on that game. That one had that, like, that had that up and down. I will say this, this game doesn't do it nearly as well as Star Wars Squadrons did. But yeah, I enjoy that as well. And the boarding, like, that is bar none my favorite part of this game, hands down. The boarding combat, once I figured out how to do it, is just the coolest fucking shit in this game, spaceboarding. Mm-hmm. And I know you haven't dealt with it yet.
No.
You have to unlock the tracking computer. And once you unlock the tracking computer, you go into the tracking mode and you blow their engines. Once you blow their engines, you get close enough, there's like an option for boarding. You hold it down and your ship just boards. It has to be the last hostile ship in the system, though. It can't be like, you can't like board and then with other fighters going around. It has to be the last one left.
Okay.
And then once you get on, you actually have to fight through their ship, however it's made, and take them all out one by one. That has been the most fun in this game, without a doubt. I am so glad I went pirate, because that experience is so rewarding. These really tight gunfights in kind of like NASA ships are just so much fun. Especially since the ships are always littered with things that'll explode or release toxic gas, so you have to be very aware of what you're shooting. And there's just nothing more satisfying than taking out the captain and then claiming the ship as your own. It's great.
I love the attention that they put into a lot of the spacey sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I've always been a space nerd. Like, I love movies like, you know, Interstellar and stuff like that. Like, anything.
I'm a sci-fi guy myself.
Involving astrophysiology.
Right.
So imagine my surprise when I noticed that when you rest, there are two different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's local time on the planet based on its orbit and rotation and actual, like, a universal space time. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Or considering stuff like solar radiation when the sun is on the side of a planet that you're on.
Yep.
Or you know, the fluctuations in the temperature thereof with that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Very, very deep attention to detail with all that stuff. And so much so that I noticed when you first turned the game on, they have a bunch of disclaimers and everything. They actually worked with NASA for actual planetary scans for actual legitimate accuracy. That's the coolest fucking shit.
It really is.
That I love it. I absolutely love it.
I don't disagree at all. I think their attention to detail is phenomenal, and it really is. I'm gonna point out another positive. I think while there are some things about the gunfighting that infuriate me to no level, the gunfighting on a whole is way better than any game they've had it in, and the guns are really cool that they procedurally generate, and they have some interesting modifications on them, and it's more than just like Fallout, where it was like, well, this one's got a bigger barrel, and you can put that bigger barrel on anything. It's much more in depth than that. It's got some legendaries and some epics, so you almost get a couple of the, you know, Borderlands Remnant feels in it. And I really enjoyed, like, randomly found a space helmet that allows me to go invisible when I duck, and randomly, it's in the beginning of the game. It was like one of the first things I searched. It was like an epic helmet that when I duck and I stand still, I go invisible. I also found a knife, a legendary rip. It's like a
ripsaw
or whatever. But I found a legendary one that's a frenzy ripsaw that when I hit with somebody, it makes them go like crazy. Yeah. Stuff like that I think is really cool. They've really tricked that out. That's a really cool aspect, and I'm enjoying that quite a bit so far, honestly. Overall, this game is weird. Because for me, and I was talking to Asylum 66, actually, about it personally, and he's been playing it too, and we also had a lot of the gripes, but what's interesting is, like, I have a list right here. On Starfield, I make an index card when I'm doing a review as I'm playing so I can note down anything I want to talk about. I've got a huge list of cons. Just a huge list of cons. I have only like 3 pros. But overall, I think this is a good game. It's very weird. It's like there's a lot of negatives to it. There's a lot of things I can complain about, but it does keep bringing me back. So it's hard to say it's a bad game. I think overall, it's definitely a better quality than I thought it was going to be. I think that they still overhyped and overpromised and didn't quite deliver, without a doubt, on some of the freedom stuff, you know, specifically. But overall, if I'm comparing this to Cyberpunk, which we must at all times,
yes.
I don't think that this is the failure, the level of Cyberpunk. You know what I mean? Like... Mm-hmm. Again, I definitely think they let us down in some key areas, but not enough to the point where I would, like, raise my pitchfork or ask for a refund or anything like that, you know?
Right. Yeah, one thing that really makes me... This is kind of like a meta aspect of the game. One thing that really makes me wonder about how... they do everything with Project X Cloud. It's interesting because, I mean, I've been playing. I haven't put it on my PC. I've been playing on the Series X.
Okay.
But I also decided to give it a shot streaming. To play it streaming right now, you, no exaggeration, have to wait in a 20-minute queue to play.
Wow.
So... there must be something with, like, the level of demand on the servers or something like that. Because normally whenever I go to play a game on streaming, it'll say getting things ready, and it'll have the little rocket across the screen, and then the rocket will go, and then it'll load up. This time, it loads up and it says, having issues with the queue. And then it waits a minute and it says, there are a ton of people on right now. Your estimated wait time to play is.
Right.
And then it'll tell you. And it's 15 to 20 minutes. And whenever you go into it, it'll load in and you'll be able to play. But whenever you quit, it even warns you, like, hey, just so you know, if you stop playing right now, you have to get back in line to play it. So I don't know if that's just indicative of the number of people who are just playing this game in general.
Which
there are a lot.
Say this isn't a success is crazy. And, you know,
right. And I think at this point, like, I don't know if this totally undoes everything, the issues that people have had with Microsoft lately, but it definitely helps to be like, okay, well, maybe the prior issues were just kind of circumstantial and situational.
I mean, at the end of the day, none of it matters. They're making money. Right. So as long as they're making money, that's all they care about, whether we hate it or not. The player count has passed 6 million. This game topped the sales charts for early access, which means that people on Game Pass who had to wait 3 more days paid $40 to play it. So, like, you're right. And just to those people, in 5 years, when we have games come out at $100 and then every week they drop $10 for the first year or some shit, this is your fault, okay? We have, like, tiered fucking sales access shit, that's your fault for doing this, because every company saw this and every company is going to go, wow, we can make that money.
It's been a thing that's slowly been creeping in, but it's only been, like, 2 days, mm-hmm. 3 days.
Yeah.
And it's only like here and there, but mm-hmm. this was plastered like, if you want to play this shit early, give us more money.
Yep.
We'll give it to you a week before all the plebs who just pay for it on Game Pass. Yeah.
And everybody bought in. Even the people who were on Game Pass bought in. So when this becomes even worse, you only have yourselves to blame. That being said, I still do feel like, like we talked about it having to be a 9 or a 10, you know, you had said that a lot. Yeah. And it just goes to show it's money. It's all about money. And this thing sold 6 million copies. It doesn't matter what kind of score it gets on Metacritic. It sold copies, period. That's what we're going to be getting Starfield from here on out. So, like, I don't know. I think overall it's not a bad game. I am enjoying it. I think they still well overpromised and failed to deliver. They didn't do it on a level of Cyberpunk, though. Take that as what you want to. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's just a testament to the difference between just trying to push it out. Because if you remember, they were very certain. They said, pencil it in on your calendars. Not in ink, but in pencil. Mm-hmm. Back when it was supposed to come out on November 11th of last year.
Right.
That was the thing with Cyberpunk. It was, hey, this game's not ready. Like, it needs another year and a half. And they were like, we'll just fix it in post, you know?
yep. All right. Well, I think we've covered it. I think we've gotten all the major points.
I actually would love to hear what other people are thinking about Cyberpunk. Wow. Starfield. How they're feeling about it, how far you are, like what all you've done, what you think, if it was worth the wait.
definitely comment below, let us know what you think, we'll read it out, we'll talk about it. It's been an interesting week for me on this one. It definitely wasn't what I expected it to be. I either expected it to be an absolute bomb or the best game ever, and it really wasn't either one of those things. So, it's interesting. But we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with the news.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our final segment, the news. This is where we collect headline stories, stories that we grab from gaming that we want to tell you about, we want to riff about, we want to tell each other about, and we just go through them here. I actually don't have any. I had one. It was the crossplay on Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but let's face it, we already talked about that in Fan Traction. Neil has six, though, so... Boy, away howdy, you go, sir.
Yeah. Boy, howdy, do I got some news for you. So we're going to start off with a weird one, and it's kind of the anticipated end to the story. So you remember a couple months back when they were doing – actually, it was more than a couple months back. It's about a year ago, a little over a year ago, when they were doing the special Sonic edition of the Xbox Series S with the Sonic and Knuckles-themed controllers that were covered in fur.
Yeah.
Yeah, the person that won those already traded them into GameStop.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, they've shown up at a GameStop, and apparently, according to the person working at GameStop, the person who traded them in said that they felt gross and were garbage. Anticipated. Yeah, it's what we thought.
Yeah, don't put hair on controllers, guys.
No, don't put hair on controllers.
It's, you know what should be controllers?
And gross. I don't.
Plastic or rubber. Plastic. That's it. Like, nothing else should be on controllers.
I can't. I still. That's so gross. I can't even. moving on there. Uh-huh. Everyone's favorite cat game, Stray. Actually going to be getting an animated movie adaptation. It was just announced.
I don't know if that works.
I don't know how they're going to do it. They got to make the cat talk. Or
yeah, like, what are you doing with that?
The cat talk, or they really have to have a fully fleshed out world to where other characters around are going to tell the story of what's going on. They're going to have some really deep storytelling shit.
Well, didn't they do subtitles for the cats talking to each other in the beginning?
I do not know. I have not played that game, and honestly, I'm terrified to play that game because I'm such an animal lover. I'd freak out if the cat takes damage.
I hate cats, so I'd be all right with it. But I'll say this. I did a music video of Stray to one of Nick's songs. I was very proud of that video because I've never played Stray. I had to, like, pull some footage and make the video out of what I saw. It was like I had to basically, like, 2-hour rip of somebody else playing it and then, like, cut it up. But I vaguely remember, like, when the cats meowed at each other, like, subtitles on the bottom of the screen. I'm not sure.
That would not work either for a movie.
I don't think it would work either, no. Yeah. I expect just cats just, like, sitting there. Like, I'd be right. Like, I'm out of this one. No thank you. No thank you! Weird.
So, my next one here. Eiji Aonuma, guy who made Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. They have said that they officially have ruled out doing any sort of DLC for Tears of the Kingdom because they have no idea what they could add to that game. And in the same breath has also stated that they are already moving the next Zelda game in the series.
I mean, you're really positive on this game. How do you want me to respond to this?
But no, here's the thing though. Like,
I'm trying to feel this out. Should be.
No, here's the thing. I agree. What the fuck can you add to Tears of the Kingdom? If they would have done anything, I think it would have been save the underground stuff as DLC.
Depths.
The depths, yeah. If they would have added the depths as a DLC, that would have been it. Because that was one thing that it was in all the advertising for the game. It was all about the sky. Yeah. Everything's in the sky. No, who wants to go underground when you've got the sky? I didn't find out about the depths until the reviews came out.
Right.
So that was a massive surprise in and of itself. So they could have saved that for DLC. They could have made it been like, oh, well, we started a little bit under the castle, but, you know, it's really weird because, you know, there's stuff going on under the castle, whatever. I wonder if they make that be the DLC. But then on top of saying, hey, I don't have any ideas for the new game because we've literally done everything, in the same breath saying, but we're working on the new one.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's where I was going to go with that.
I'm not quite sure that the only thing that I can fathom that comes to mind right now is if they do like a futuristic sort of almost like Mystatech sort of future where it's like big metropolises and stuff like that instead of just like little podunk towns. That's the only thing that I can think of, unless you're going to fucking outer space for some reason.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say I disagree on the fact that you don't know what to add. I think there's always something to add to a game. There's always something to add to the game. I don't think Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom does everything. It doesn't. I've been watching it religiously through Game Grumps because I watch Game Grumps every episode. And like I said, I'm boycotting that game, so I'm not going to be playing that game, but I'm going to watch it. And I can already think of like five things off the top of my head that you could add to that game that would be really interesting and different. So I don't necessarily think that that's true. I think that that's a little bit of a cop-out. And I mean, you could say the same thing about Skyrim. Skyrim had everything in it. Everything in it. And you had character creation. They made four outstanding DLCs that had new content, new systems, new things. And then people are still making mods that add huge chunks to that game later on. So I don't feel like there's ever a point where you can't add to a game. And I certainly think that not only is that a cop-out, but to then say you're working on another Zelda game, okay, well, you could very clearly use that for this, you know? I will say if they had said up front before the game came out, we're increasing the price to $70 because we're not doing any DLC at all. It's all going to be in one game and it's going to be huge. I would have been less rage-induced than the way they did it. I feel like that, to me, would have changed some things because, you know, you had Breath of the Wild, which was a $60 game, but it had, what, two, three DLCs?
Yeah.
Two
main DLCs.
And they were paid DLCs.
Yes.
So right there, you're already over $70. I was expecting that with Tears of the Kingdom because everybody expects that nowadays. If you had said that's the reason for the price hike, that would have made so much more sense to me because to me, it looked like they were trying to raise the price of their game even though nothing was justified. You know? And in fairness, nothing was justified at the time. Like, they decided to raise the price of it by $10, even though it's a last-gen game. The only games that had raised to 70 were next-gen games. There was no reason for it. There was no justification for it. And sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and you know what's really funny about that, too, is you say it, you mentioned that to where if they would have just said that, they kind of did, but in a bad way. They could have just changed the phrasing on, because their initial thing was when they were asked about why they raised the price. And we were like, well, there was just a lot more that we put into it. If they would have said what you just said there, like even like me one way or another, like I said, I was going to buy it one way.
I know.
But even that would have been like, oh, well, shit. Like, you know, and like you're saying here, like it definitely for people who are in the same camp like yourself, it could have softened the blow.
Well, not even just softened the blow, explained it better. You didn't explain it. What you did was you said, you didn't say anything other than, oh, it's bigger than the last one. What's a sequel? It should be a little bit bigger than the last one. That does not warrant a higher price. It just doesn't. What warrants a higher price is saying, this is it. This is the entire game. There's no pre-order DLC. There's no post-order DLC. It's the entire game. You definitely would have had me be less rage-induced if you had said up front, like, we're raising the price by $10 because we're not going to do any DLCs at all, paid at all, period. Like, it's all in one. We've made it big. Not only have we made it bigger than the last one, but we basically included all the stuff we would include in DLCs in the game.
I definitely would not have been as angry, because you would have at least given me a legitimate reason as to why you're raising that price. You saying a game is bigger than the game previous is not a legitimate reason to make the game more money. It just isn't. You're on the same generation technology. You're using the same UI. You're using the same art style. You're using the same fucking sprites. Or not sprites, but you know what I mean. The same assets in the game. Everything about this game is very much the same with extra stuff on, which is great for a sequel. I'm not saying it's not, but it does not justify a $10 price hike. But if you had said up front, this is the total package, we would have had a different conversation, which kind of pisses me off a little bit now that I feel like, yeah, you could have said that. You could have said that. And I still would have been like, that's bullshit, but I certainly wouldn't have been as angry as I was. You know, I think that, like, yeah, that's just dumb. I do, however, just to go back to the negative, I do think it's a cop-out. I think you can always add to a game. I think they are more concerned with... I think they don't want to do DLC because they're working on the next Switch. And I don't think they want to worry about... They don't want to worry about a game that's effectively on dead technology. Which it's not dead, but... The minute the next version of it is announced, it's, you know what I mean? You're on a lifespan, right? Nobody's buying Switches anymore at this point. They're looking to the next thing. So I think that they don't want to put more work into a game that's on old technology. They've made their money off of it. They want to work on a new Zelda to get DLC on that one, to get it on the next Switch to bring people in there.
That actually reminds me of another one that I didn't put on. So we're just going to segue into that. Apparently, there's been a closed-door demo of the new hardware for the next Switch that apparently showed it running natively. Do you remember that the weird Matrix tech demo thing that came out for this... PS5 and Series X.
It's like Unreal 5, wasn't it?
Yes. Runs that, apparently. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure it's scaled back in some form or fashion, but yeah, apparently that's what we're kind of dealing with the new Nintendo Switch. Truthfully, anytime somebody says there's a closed door demo of something, though, I'm like, oh yeah, so like receipts, like what are you, aside from, you know, I pinky swear.
The other thing is too, I just want to point out how bad Nintendo is at high end hardware
stuff. Yeah,
and like that's my biggest concern for this new system is where does it fit into the ecosystem of high performance versus gimmick? And I don't think anybody's going to be... Anybody who's on board for gimmick have already bought their Switch and they're happy with it. They don't need the next Switch.
Anybody who's looking for performance already has a Series X or PS5.
Or a Steam Deck for portability. So you have to compete with the Steam Deck, and I don't know if they have... I don't know if they have the machismo, so to speak. You know, I don't know if they have the chutzpah. To bring it to Steam Deck. Like, the, I just don't
that's
know if
the
they
thing
do.
Is Nintendo's always leaned on without their IP. Like, if Nintendo didn't have everything that they have and they were just like another place to play like some other random, like, sure, they may have first party stuff, but like Nintendo wouldn't be a thing anymore.
Yeah, I think you know, Steam Deck can do so many things. It can also basically be a portable, like, device for other stuff as well. Like, you can run things on it. Netflix is notoriously bad at doing anything non-proprietary. I don't foresee, like, even if they have the specs to compete with Steam Deck, which I find that hard to believe, but even if they do... Do they have the functionality to compete with Steam Deck? And I don't know if they do, especially with some of the other ones coming out too, like the ROG Ally. Yeah. And like this is becoming a hot button thing for PC people. So like for them to compete in that market space, like they have to compete in that market space. They can't just do another gimmick. So I'm very confused to see what they do. We'll see.
Speaking of confusion, the ESA swears up and down that E3 is going to be back in 2025, They're going to reinvent themselves. They're taking a year off to figure out what's going on. They've parted ways with, what was it called, Red Pop, the company that helped them put on the event every single year. They said that the vision for E3 going forward was not what they wanted, so they're gonna go ahead and shoot for 2025. Please just let us mourn. You don't need to dig up the corpse of what we once loved and parade it around and have us look at it again. Like, we're healing from the hurt. It's taking time. You don't have to remind us.
What's because funny,
in the same breath, they're also saying we can't do this, or we don't have a solid of enough vision to put something together between now and 2024, which the E3 time being June or so, you're looking at a 10-month window.
Yep.
They can't put something together within 10 months and get everybody on the same page at that point. But, you know, the extra year is going to change that.
I think there's something else to notice here, and that is that, like, while you and I may be mourning the corpse of E3, we're old fogies.
Yeah.
Most people don't give a shit about it. And so I think that, like, while we're mourning it, most people don't care what happens. So I think that, like, it's going to take them another year to figure out that it doesn't exist anymore. but that's fine. That's on you. Like, I don't know what you want to do with it. But yeah, I think at this point, the fuck fests are all we get anymore. And Gamescom, I think Gamescom's still solid, but, like, yeah, we're really looking at that.
The next two are very interesting, very interesting. And they're a little bit of a storied saga on both. So we've already invoked the name of GameStop once already, but
I want to know how much he got for the fur controllers, since they're so limited edition.
Man, I wonder. They probably just gave him regular trade-in.
I was about to say, like, a whole nickel.
Just gave him regular, like, best we can do is $30 for the whole thing. So the CEO of GameStop, Ryan Cohen, made a statement online saying that game consoles should always have disc drives because people have spent a lot of money on physical games over the years. He, who, of course, would have a dog in that fight, which was already great enough. But this comment that was made online was in response to a tweet, or whatever the hell they're calling, about the new iPhone 15s having USB Type-C instead of lightning chargers. That is his platform, a response to a news article. That's where he's going. What is even better on top of all of this, as this is all happening, as he's apparently about to be investigated by the SEC over insider trading of Bed Bath & Beyond, another failed company.
This guy is a winner, man. I don't know where to begin on that. Yeah, it is a hat trick of stupid.
It's a hat trick of stupid shit.
That's a good way to describe it.
You can't write this.
Neil can't see this, but I'm going to show everybody this. You guys see all that? All that along that wall right there? Those are all DVDs. DVDs.
Oh, your, you know, DVD what? Collection.
I have a huge DVD collection between me and Melissa. You know, I've spent a lot of money on DVDs over the years. Do you know how many devices in my house play DVDs? One. And I don't know how to use it because my controllers are all down here.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, this is the same thing as, like, anything that people get too attached to. The world moves on. It just does. And no matter how much money you've sunk into something, how much time you've sunk into thing, how much you believe in something, the world
as a collective, has decided something, and you're out of the loop. So you got two choices, adapt or enjoy your DVDs until you can't watch them anymore.
And that's something interesting, too, that I've been kind of contending. So Kayla and I have been talking about a game that we can play together. So we've been talking about picking up Baldur's Gate 3.
Right.
And we'll do co-op on the PS5.
There has been some issues, I've heard. Just a warning.
I've heard there's been some issues. Yeah. But here I am Googling when the release date is. And it's out. It was out. And I'm like, what? Okay. So I'm like, I'll pick it up from Best Buy because I work across the street from one. So I go to Best Buy on the app and I'm searching for it. I'm like, it's not showing up. Like, is it just there? Do they not have them yet? I'm
digital.
Like, maybe I give it digital only.
Yeah. Yeah.
Digital only. So
do you know how much it would cost them? Yeah. Do you know how much it would cost them to release a physical edition? Like, that's the thing, guys. Like, it sucks for anybody who likes to have stuff. Yeah. I get that. But just eventually, the world moves on, and you just have to move on and adapt. That's how it works. It's how it works for everything. Everything. Yeah. Everything. And, like, yeah. It just is, man. It just is.
Yeah.
We must soldier on.
Yeah, I'm sad about it. But, you know, that's the thing is, like, it's like, well, you either play the game and you buy it digitally, or you fucking don't, you loser. Yeah. Like, that's it.
Yeah, and you definitely know it's out when the advocate for it doesn't know where to post such advocacy in any way, shape, or form, and is also being investigated for insider trailing of another failed company. Like, that's the guy, like, Disk Drives! Yeah. Like, you know what? I don't think Disk Drives are around anymore, guys. I think that's a thing of the past.
So, my last one here. Okay. This one's a little complicated, but it's interesting to say the least.
Okay.
So Rockstar has been caught selling pirated versions of their own games.
What?
So apparently, whenever they listed digital versions of Grand Theft Auto, I believe it was Vice City, on Steam, they wanted to eliminate the DRM support. That said, there's actually two types of DRM that they put on the games. One, to prevent people from playing the games, from breaking them without the proper, you know, everything that they need. And one, to basically make it known by the game that it is a cracked version of the game. So, like, that's where you get stuff to where, like, you've heard stories of, like, I forget what game it was. If you play a cracked version, your character gets an eye patch.
Right.
Or stuff like that. So, instead of removing the DRMs, you know, properly, the normal way, you know, with programming and manpower, they got a cracked version of the game off of a file distribution site somewhere on the internet that was already cracked. Flipped some code real quick, but only got around that first level of DRM and suppressed the other level of DRM. But when you go into the files of the purchased games, the residual files saying, hey, mess with the player because this is a cracked version of the game, still exist. Rockstar has been reached out for comment on this, mainly as to just ask, fucking why? and they have yet to respond.
I want the guy who originally cracked the game to sue them for infringement on intellectual property. It would be the first time a company gets sued for stealing from the person who stole from them.
that's like the people who, like, if, like, you know how at Best Buy they have that person at the front who's supposed to, like, be the person that stops somebody from stealing?
Right.
But, like, they're not actually supposed to stop you. They're supposed to just, like, yell at you and, like, chase you out of the store and try and get, like, information from your car and everything to get the cops on you. That's, like, if that person tackled the guy stealing and the guy stealing sued Best Buy for bodily harm.
It's great. It's great. I love it. I love it.
It's so stupid. So stupid.
Rockstar's a shitty company, so I'm not surprised. I don't know what happened to them, but since that guy left, but like one of the brothers left. Yeah. But he was apparently the one with the moral compass, because since then that place has just been an inferno of shit. Yeah.
But that was all of.
Yay! Well, those were good. Let's plug some stuff and go to sleep.
Yes.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the show. The shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, would you like to plug anything?
So, we're still doing the Redfall down, and the dumb episode happened. And that's the only way I can describe it, honestly. The dumb happened.
It was dumb.
It was the stupidest thing that I've ever encountered in gaming, what we had to do.
Such a shit show. Such an utter shit show.
Go and see it. Just go and watch it.
The episode begins with Neil's maniacal crazy laughter, which I was very proud to edit that together.
Oh god.
It just starts with you going, and me going, what? And you being like, I am at the beginning of the game.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. It was the shit show. Not to spoil anything, guys, but apparently in Redfall, the co-op game, a game they made for co-op, does not save any of the other players' progress. This I knew. However, in the middle of the game, there's a mission that you can't do co-op. So if the other people haven't played through the entirety of the game by themselves as well as with you, then they can't do that mission either. So you have to do the mission alone.
Stupid.
Then re-invite them. What the fuck is the point of a co-op game then, man? If it's not fully co-op. Like, oh, so stupid. Which is why the ending of the last episode was just me reading off the internet basically for 11 minutes while you and Kayla made fun of stuff off screen, and then this episode was just totally fucked. Redfall Down has been a real trip. It will be the worst game that I've ever completed, I'm pretty sure, without a shadow of doubt. All right, as far as me and the plugs, the first thing I want to plug is not me. This is a really sweet thing. So we play TTRPGs here too, actual plays. Astral Drive is one we do every Wednesday. Oh, every other Wednesday. And then one Thursday a month we do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Other Strangers. Hi, Game Master. We added a new player named Jackie Rakes. Wonderful person. She makes these stainless steel tumblers and cups and coffee mugs and all sorts of stuff that are custom. I would urge you guys to go check her out on Facebook. The company is called Created with Love by Jackie Rakes. And she made this for me, and Neil unfortunately can't see it, so I'll have to send him a picture. But you guys can see it is a stainless steel can, Old Man Gaming, and it's our logo. She made this for me for my birthday. And I told her I had to plug her stuff then, so we're going to plug her stuff here. So go check that out. If you're an Ohio person, she's going to be at the Ravenna Balloon Affair, selling her, wares. So go check her out there. But she does all sorts of custom stuff, and they're real quality products. So I just wanted to give that shout out, because this is just the coolest little mug that I've had. That being said, as far as the plugs that I have to do, I please urge people to go back and watch our last TMNT. That is probably our most popular RPG stream. People really like it, but go back and look at it. It's a lot of fun. I am going to be doing the review of Starfield sometime this week, probably either Monday or Tuesday that will come out. So it will be, you'll be able to watch it by now. I think that's it, guys. Other than that, you can check out all the fun stuff we have to offer. OMGM on Thursdays, myself and Grandpa Gamer book against each other in WrestleMania 2K23. We've got the TTRPG stuff I have already mentioned, as well as the second podcast that's bi-weekly between me and Wizards Respite, our TTRPG partner. Redfall Down Saturdays, Sundays Prelude to Divorce.
all the good stuff. Check it out. You guys can also contact us on Facebook at OhMyGamingDH, on Twitter at OhMyGaming9. You can join our Discord. Link is in the description below. Influences and all of our shows from there. As long as you guys keep watching and listening, we'll keep making them. We'll see you guys next time. Man, I did some interesting stuff today with Phil.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we were pricing out, because I kind of want to build Stella a PC.
Okay.
We were pricing it out and whatnot. And, dude, I'm kind of pissed. I mean, way less pissed than you should be, but like, we priced out a PC for her that has like 1,000 better graphic card and a terabyte SSD and an extra 500 gigabyte SSD than I do. $680 at its toppest end.
Yep.
It's more powerful than my computer, and I spent $1,300 on mine building it. So, like, I tell you what, man, if anybody, from this point on, if anybody's like, oh, it's expensive to build a PC, I'm going to be like, let me tell you a little something. We're at the crescendo of the graphics. You buy any fucking graphics card, it's going to play anything for the next fucking 10 goddamn years. Just build a PC. It's crazy.
It's funny you bring that up because Kayla, she never knows what to get me for my birthday. So I'm just like going through and just like grabbing random shit and putting it on an Amazon wish list.
Right.
And it's just like just for ideas. And when I was looking for stuff for that, I took a look and I was like, I wonder what the Strix 3070 is going for. Because that's what I wanted initially when I was building. That was my ideal card. I found one for $380.
Dude,
I paid $540 for my 2060.
Well, and what's insane is some of the ones that are like high end are like way too expensive. So like same thing. I have a wish list, and I put a 6800 on mine. Not because I feel I need a new graphics card, but because I figured, if I've got to get a new graphics card for Stella, I just put my 5600 in it.
Yours, yeah.
Because it'll play just fine, anything she needs to play, and I might as well upgrade now. But, that one was $484 when I was pricing it out. Today, we were pricing out a 6600. So, 68, 66, right? The 6600 is $220. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just going to get 6600. Like, why is this, like, there's just such a jump. You know, across the board. And then they wonder why they can't sell the fucking things.
Right. And then that's the thing is, like, the 40 series at this point is...
Yeah.
For the improvements that you're getting over the 40s in the... at the NVIDIA level, they're not really anything all that great.
Yeah.
So people are just still going with the 30 series.
Well, and why wouldn't you? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like you're... Because the money goes up so high when you get to those 40 series, and it's not doing anything more, you know? It's almost like a status symbol at that point. It's weird.
Yeah, all especially, too, like, for my purposes and everything like that. If I go above a 3070, I have to change out my power supply. So then at that point, I'm already, you know, tacking on an extra $150 to $200.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's kind of miffing me is I think if I go too high on my graphics card, I have to get a new CPU. That's the one thing that me and Phil probably didn't do perfect on our computers was our CPUs, we kind of bought with the things that we had instead of buying them a little bit more future-proof. So that'd be like a full new like build-out, basically. Like, same parts and everything, but, you know...